This morning we will continue our series, A Call to Seek Wisdom. Proverbs first and foremost calls us to fear the Lord, to pursue wisdom at all costs, to walk in step with the Spirit, living life as the Creator intended us to live. The question that is constantly before us is, will you follow in the way of folly or wisdom? This morning, we're going to look at Proverbs chapter 2 and this idea of the very Word of God being a hidden treasure. There's an alluring draw to search for hidden treasure. I don't know if it's a tradition in your family, but a lot of families have their children hunting for Easter eggs, hidden around the house or perhaps out in the yard, or maybe you go to the park or participate community events, do these hidden Easter eggs and treasure hunts, and the children love it. I don't know if maybe when you're out on a walk or just generally, you know, sort of keeping your eye aware and looking for something that might be a treasure, you know. Do you pick up that quarter if you see it in the parking lot, you know, a little treasure? Back in 2013, February, a young couple was playing with their dog in their backyard in Northern California. And they saw something kind of shiny, and they began to explore. And lo and behold, they uncovered a gold coin. And actually, a bucket of gold coins. And actually, multiple buckets of gold coins. And ultimately, they unearthed 1,400 gold coins that had been buried as a treasure somewhere back in the late 1800s during the California Gold Rush on their property. Estimated value, $10 million. A number of years ago, one of the young adults in our church got engaged. Of course, you know, very exciting time, and as is often the case, the engagement ring doesn't quite fit right, you know. He had surprised her, and so it wasn't sized to her finger. He hadn't figured that out beforehand, and so she had worn it for a day or two, and they were going on a drive to Vancouver, no air conditioning in the car, a sunny day, and as they're driving down the freeway, a wasp flies into the car, and she flings her hand at the wasp, and the ring goes flying out the window onto the sidewalks or the shoulder somewhere of the freeway. Of course, they screeched to a stop and spent several hours looking for this ring, and they're all in a panic, and of course, she's heartbroken, and it's, you know, I mean, he's spent his life savings to this point, you know, to buy this ring, and she's flung it out the window. So they go home and gather some recruits and actually some metal detectors. They go back, they had marked the area, and they searched and searched and searched. They found it. They actually found her ring. And you can only imagine how exciting. And what a great story, you know, to be able to tell your kids in regards to your engagement. You know, COVID had us home a lot, and I don't know if any of you got to cleaning out closets. Maybe you found some treasures. Well, here at the church was no different. We had some extra time, and the archive room in the basement had really become very overstuffed. And so we cleaned out the archive room, and you know, those treasures, we took them down to the Mennonite Historical Museum, and Mary Ann's sorting through them. And now if you want to find some of those old records, you're going to have to go down to the museum. Well, the Bible is actually a much more significant treasure than any treasure that has ever been found. Because the treasure that the Bible contains is life-giving. It's a book that was written over centuries, beginning some 3,500 to 4,000 years ago. That is remarkable in and of itself. It's almost 2,000 years since the canon, the 66 books of the Bible as we have it, was finalized. Each of the 66 books written by individuals inspired by the Holy Spirit. A dual authorship for each book. It tells the story of creation and God's plan of salvation. Its scope is cosmic. As literature, it contains narrative and poetry, letters, and wisdom text. It's the best-selling book of all time. Currently, 100 million copies are printed annually. 80,000 versions are in print. An estimated 6 billion copies are in circulation. And that doesn't even account for all the versions that you and I now have available to us so readily on our Bible apps. But here's my question. 6 billion Bibles plus apps. Who's reading it? Who's looking for the treasure that it contains? Am I? Are you, as a follower of Jesus? And what's more important, perhaps, is even the question that is really a follow-up: are you being obedient to that which you're discovering, to that which you're reading? You see, the key question of discipleship is, am I being obedient? Am I living according to the Word of God? Back in the 80s and 90s, in church life, it was still very common for there to be not only a Sunday school kids' quest program, but for all adults as well. And we would go to Sunday school classes after the church service or before, depending on how your structure was. And I remember at the time, you know, I was pastor of Christian Ed in our church, and you know, you kind of watch, like, who's coming, who's not, who's, you know, who's ducking out after service and not going to Sunday school. And I noticed that our longtime moderator didn't go to the Sunday school class. I thought that was strange. You know, you want to be modeling kind of a commitment to learning and everything else. And he was an educator himself, so, like, what's the problem? So I said, John, you don't go. Like, why? What is that? And his answer has reverberated in my mind to this day. He looked at me and he said, Michael, he said, my problem is not needing to learn more. I need to be more obedient to what I already know. And that's what he was thinking about during that hour. You see, as Christians, we believe the Bible is God's word, and as such, it's going to lead us into truth. And in fact, that truth is a very personal relationship with Jesus Christ, God's Son, our Savior, who is the way, the truth, and the life, as he declares himself in John 14:6. Jesus, who is the very Word of God, invites us to do his Father's will. In fact, he says in Matthew 7:21, in the end of the Sermon on the Mount that we just studied earlier this year, that it is the person who does the will of his Father who will ultimately be with him in heaven. The key to living as a Christian, the foundational attitude of a disciple, a follower of Jesus, is obedience. What does God want me to do? And will I do it? And God's blueprint for what he wants me to do, God's blueprint for our lives, is given to us in the Bible. It's a treasure, and we are called to be people of the book. Moses knew that God's word was a treasure. It was of great value. In his message to the people of Israel in Deuteronomy chapter 30, he pens these words, "See, I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction. For I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in obedience to him, and to keep his commands," that is his word, "decrees and laws. Then you will live and increase, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you are entering to possess." The psalmist also knew this. Psalm 119. Probably the most significant piece of poetry that has ever been written. 22 stanzas, 8 verses in each stanza, 176 verses, paralleling the Hebrew alphabet, 22 letters, each stanza beginning with the letter and successive letters of the Hebrew alphabet, and each of the 8 verses beginning with that letter of the alphabet. It's a masterpiece. Psalm 119:11, "I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you." The Hebrew word for hidden is used 30 times in the Old Testament. It almost always means to hide or to store away in a safe place. And so it came to also be translated as treasure, because in the ancient world, treasures were hidden to keep them safe. Just think of the tombs of the pharaohs of Egypt. Upon their death, they would bury most of the wealth that they had accumulated with them in their tomb. So when the psalmist says that he has hidden God's word in his heart, he means that he has valued it. He has taken it seriously, and he finds that it is life-giving. And later in Psalm 119, in verse 162, the psalmist is going to say, "I rejoice in your word like one who finds great treasure." Well, what is the true value of treasure? Well, gold coins have no value till they were sold and turned into cash. You know, we've collected nice pieces of china and different vases on our travels worldwide, and we have them in a curio cabinet in our dining room. Well, they're kind of pretty to look at, but they're really only functionally valuable if we use it as a vase, if we take it out and put the flowers in it. I have 18 Bibles in my office. The value is not in having the treasure, but rather of hiding it in my heart so that it can transform my thinking, my attitudes, my actions. If we are to be shaped by God's word, we have to realize what a treasure it is. Now, if is really kind of a significant word, isn't it? If only I'd gotten up when the alarm went, I wouldn't be late for work. If only I hadn't been speeding, I wouldn't have gotten that ticket. I didn't want the ticket, but I was speeding. If I hadn't hit send on that nasty email that I wrote out, if I'd been more loving. Well, Solomon, the wisest person we're told that has ever lived, teaches his son the things that are necessary for a life that is full and rich, a wholesome life in relationships and ethics, a life that is just and right, a life that is in step with God, the God of creation, a life that is grounded in listening to and obeying God's word. Chapter 2 of Proverbs is the second speech. In chapter 1, Solomon had called his son to the important discipline of listening to the word. It's one of the ways that we demonstrate that we fear the Lord, that we allow Jesus to be the Lord of his life, is that we are listening. We're actually in the word, we're reading it. He's to act upon, to live out his life in accordance with the guiding principles of the words that Solomon is going to share with him through his teaching. Words that are the very wisdom and knowledge of God himself. Let's read the first 11 verses of chapter 2. Solomon writes, "My son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding. Indeed, if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as silver and search for it as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He holds success in store for the upright. He is a shield to those whose walk is blameless, for he guards the course of the just and protects the way of his faithful ones. Then you will understand what is right and just and fair, every good path. For wisdom will enter your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will protect you, and understanding will guard you." Did you notice how many times in the initial verses we once again met that word if? if you accept my words, if you call out for insight and understanding, if you search for it as a hidden treasure. We have the source of life. Do we resolve to know it, to read it, to study it, to listen to it, to obey it, to allow it to shape our very thoughts and therefore our character and our actions? Like Psalm 119, chapter 2 of Proverbs is also an amazing piece of Hebraic poetry. It's actually a single sentence, and we only read half of it. 22 verses that once again match the letters of the Hebrew alphabet, suggesting that this is complete. It will guide you into life. If you accept these words of instruction, you will be complete. Verse 5 makes that clear. A relationship with the Lord is the foundation of knowledge and wisdom, the skill to live life as it is intended to be lived by the Creator. And so these first 11 verses teach about the shaping or the development of the Son's character, of our character. And the second half of the poem, if you would take the time to read it, really relates to the Son's deliverance or protection from wicked men and from the wicked woman, ensuring that the Son is going to experience life and not death. It's a call to recognize when something is sinful and stay away from it. So the key challenge that Solomon is really giving his son in this address is for his son to accept his words and store up his commands within himself, and then to act, to obey, to put them into action. Bruce Waltke, in his commentary on Proverbs, suggests that Solomon wants his son to become like the inner sanctum of the temple that he had dedicated. In that inner sanctum of the temple, in the Holy of Holies, was the Ark of the Covenant. And it contained the very stone tablets on which God had inscribed the commandments. God's word was in that ark. The temples of the pagan nations that surrounded Israel housed idols whom their worshipers manipulated by myth and ritual to attain life. But in Solomon's temple and in his son's heart, the Lord's transcendent moral will was to rule. And if the son would submit to God's will, he would find life. Thy word have I hid in my heart. Paul teaches the same concept in Colossians chapter 3. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. It's what we're called to do as a church family, right? To be people who enact the Word of God. We're on a mission to follow Jesus and to make him known in all that we do. This psalm, this Proverbs reminds us that to know God, to know his word, is to find wisdom. To find what it is that we need to live our lives. I spent some time this week reading in Proverbs, and a number of things jumped out at me, and I'm just going to share them kind of as a bit of an illustration of what kind of treasure there is to find in this rich, rich book. Thursday, this past week, was Eleanor's and my 43rd wedding anniversary. We had a wonderful dinner out, and the thing that shocks us more than anything is how we got to 43. Like, it kind of seems like a big number, right? And then I'm reading in Proverbs, and here's what I find in Proverbs 18:22: the man who finds a wife finds a treasure, and he receives favor from the Lord. And Eleanor's been my treasure. Amazing wife and mother and soulmate. Or in 19:17, if you help the poor, you are lending to the Lord, and he will repay you. Are we aware of and sensitive to the needs of the people around us? Chapter 15:19, a lazy person's path is blocked with briars, but the path of the upright is an open highway. Now, there's a reason to get up and discover what it is that God wants you to do and work at it with all your heart, to be a disciplined employee. Chapter 11, verse 28, trust in your money and down you go. But the godly flourish like leaves in the spring. Or chapter 21, 20, the wise have wealth and luxury, but fools spend whatever they get. You want to figure out how to live wisely with your wealth? Read Proverbs with the money that you have, right? And one of the things that you're going to discover is that if you don't honor the Lord with the portion of your income, you're never going to have wisdom to live on the balance. It's godly wisdom. Proverbs 21:23, watch your tongue and keep your mouth shut and you will stay out of trouble. That one's so important and that appears so often throughout Proverbs. We're going to come back to that in 2 weeks and we're going to talk about what it means to guard our tongues. Wisdom. Wisdom in God's book. You also find in Proverbs chapter 2 that being obedient and living according to the word is what leads you to success in life. Joshua knew this. Joshua 1 writes, or we read in Joshua 1 verses 7 to 9, be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law that my servant Moses gave you. Right? Follow the word. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything that is written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. We don't normally think of success as being a verb. But that's what it is in the Hebrew language. Success is something that you do, not something that you are. Joshua is obedient in applying God's word, and he leads the people with righteousness and justice to possess the very land that God had promised them. And Joshua really becomes the prototype of the blessed man in Psalm 1. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked or stand in the way of sinners or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yield its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. God's word is a treasure. A treasure that will lead you to life in all of its abundance, centered, of course, most fully in Christ. The Word became flesh. The treasure of the Word is discovered in relationship, and it's an invitation this morning to commit yourself to knowing Jesus, to reading His Word, to listening and accepting it, that is, to be people who obey. And as you do, the fullness of life abundant and eternal will be your reward. As part of my Bible reading this week, I was in 2 Chronicles. And I came across this stunning verse, a summary verse of King Jotham's life. King Jotham was one of the kings in Judah, a king who had committed himself to being godly. And in 2 Chronicles 27:6, it says this, Jotham's strength was rooted in his steady and determined life of obedience to God. Now, how would you like that as an epitaph on your tombstone? Jotham's strength was rooted in his steady and determined life of obedience to God. May it be so. May it be said of me, of you. So there's a couple of practical things I want to invite you to do as we bring this service to a close this morning. I really would like you to commit yourselves to reading through Proverbs this summer. We're studying the book. Let's read it together. Maybe you've read it recently. We've read it, if you're part of the Bible reading program that we're doing here as a church family, you'll have read through Proverbs, but let's read it again. If we'd back up the truck to July 1st, you could read a chapter a day and be through it in a month. So you can start today and be done in the middle of August, or you can catch up and read it again in August. A chapter a day gets you through Proverbs in 31 days. I want you to read Proverbs. And I also invite you to sit sometime this week and read Psalm 119. Just a psalm that anchors you in the significance of the Word of God. Would you do that? Continue reading in your Bible program, whatever you do. The other thing is part of this series, we're calling this series To Seek Wisdom. You know, God's going to be revealing things to you, either through the preaching of the Word on Sunday by Sunday, or as you get in and read the Word. What's the Spirit saying to you as you read? And as you find and seek wisdom and are obedient in that, why don't you share that story with somebody? Maybe share it with us as a pastoral staff, and we can share it with the church family and encourage one another. What is God calling you to do, to be? What act of obedience will you live out in these next months as we seek wisdom together? The prayer team is going to come. They'll be here. Perhaps you've come with a need this morning and you would like prayer. Perhaps the Spirit has been just challenging you to be more committed to Bible reading, and you want to just come and say, Lord, I want to make that commitment here this morning to be a person of the book, to read, to discover, to seek the wisdom it contains. Perhaps the Spirit's already prompted you and there's something you need to do to demonstrate that you are an obedient follower of Jesus, who is the Word of God. Worship team's going to come and lead us. The prayer team's here. Respond as the Spirit leads. May God bless us.